Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials. Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking to Ron Armstrong. He's a conservative Christian candidate running for the office of mayor in Jacksonville, Florida. He will be focused on your vote, your interest in what is happening in our city, and whether or not we need to replace the present mayor. I think that's the bottom line question that we're talking about today. Ron, thank you again for joining us today with your busy schedule, but yet taking time for us to share some thoughts on the air and invite our listeners to join in the dialogue and the discussion. I think part of your platform, your state, and I'm reading it from your platform, keeping families together in Jacksonville. What do you mean by that statement?
Yeah, I mean, we've got an issue in Jacksonville where young men and young women are growing up without father figures in their home. We look at some of the records of, you know, I have the honor of riding very periodically with the homicide unit of Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and probably 80% of the times we're showing up to these murder scenes or, you know, these tragic situations, we're trying to find out, well, where are the parents? And we have a lot of homes throughout the city that don't have the parents. And when we talk about where it starts at the very beginning, it starts in our home. And so we've got to have somebody in leadership that really points that out and drives that home.
One of the things that, and I'm at a total loss for the name, but there was an individual here in the city that she was attached to the University of North Florida. Is a female child advocate, if you please, psychologist or counselor, that had been in five other states. She's now in California. But they just on the news the other night interviewed a lady that had had her three children taken away from them because she had interviewed the kids and claimed that they had been abused, which was absolutely untrue. And her track record, she'd gone through the same thing in five other states that she was in, and now in California, and they'd invited her to respond to the investigative report on the local news. And based on what I saw with that, she had made the immediate identification that these are bad parents, let's take the kids. And it comes under the perusal of DCF. What would be the how would you say the input, the impact, the strength that the mayor's office would have to change that whole setup as far as the way it's viewed and how it's carried out?
Yeah, so right now we don't have a lot of tools, resources, educational factors when it comes to direct community efforts. It's a great political campaign speech when everyone starts to run for office. Everyone wants to jump into especially minority communities and say what they're going to do, but we do a lot of over-promising and under-delivering, and so right now DCF in its own wheelhouse, understaffed, underpaid, the resources that they have dealing with what we got going on in Duval County, there's a huge gap. And so it would be my job once in office is to make sure that they are one of the key people, key partners in our city that continue to, you know, walk these communities, knock on these doors, figure out the true need for the homes. Because right now, we continue to see there's a huge barrier within the leadership of the Office of City of Jacksonville and direct communities that we would say would be neglected.
Absolutely. Well said. Hold your thought for a moment, Ron. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I would like to ask Ron how he's going to deal with the future mudslinging that's coming his way. I do recall the, I think it was Dan Davis and Al Ferraro. And I thought Al Ferraro was an outstanding candidate who should have been mayor, but I think a feud that occurred caused a lot of consternation there leading up to Donna Deegan's election. And then the second thing is one of the biggest issues in Jacksonville is downtown development, and that comes with the stadium and what used to be the, what they call that, riverfront there that got torn down and they're supposedly redoing it. But a current contract, the city's giving $650 million for a roof and then an additional contract of $150 million each year for maintenance on the new Evergreen Stadium roof system. What are your stands on both of those questions, sir?
Ron, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So the mudslinging is absolutely true, and I think we're going to start seeing a lot of it. Seeing some of it personally. So I think when you have nothing to hide, you know, they're going to throw it, and we're still waiting on two more people to jump into the race. But, you know, we're going to play the long game here and make sure that we do it in an honorable way. You know, we've already had a team said when they start, you know, come against us, what do we do with them? And I think we take the road of integrity and honor and make sure that we run a clean, conservative, and valuable race. And so you're not going to see any of that coming from me. I just want to state facts. I want to make sure people see what's coming. Like this morning, we got a message that somebody wished that I was dead and that I would die and back out of the race. And, you know, we could have went back, but, you know, we just let that roll off our shoulder. So it's going to happen. Unfortunately, 16,000 Republicans switched sides from the Republican Party and switched over to Donna Deegan because of that mudslinging. So that's the main reason she got into where she's at. So that's the first thing I would say. Downtown development, it's a serious thing going on right now. There's a lot of buddy-buddy contracts that are happening within downtown development, and money's being passed around left and right, day and night. And you're absolutely true. You know, what you speak of is what's coming our way. It's our taxpayer dollars, $650 million. You know, Donna thought it was in best interest to build a park right in the middle of downtown for $38 million. And I just think that until we have new leadership in there, that's what she's going to continue to focus on is downtown. But again, we spent $10 billion in the last 10 years and still look where we're at. So I don't think you can throw money at something just to fix it.
What does that say to you, Jim?
Well, I would agree with that statement. I have watched the development of the riverfront, since the 80s. And it was the two brothers there that talked them into building the landing. They did not plan for parking. The associated problems that came with no parking led to the downfall, and eventually it got torn down, what, 2-3 years ago? And now they're going to do the same thing all over again? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I would say this, Jim, too, is, you know, we've got big tenants leaving downtown. My question continues to be raised of why do we have, like, someone like Everbank wanting to leave downtown? Why did Haskell leave downtown? 400 employees. And, you know, people are not satisfied with downtown. Just because we're putting up a parking garage and more living spaces, it doesn't mean that that's the answer to our downtown development. So I think we're missing the mark.
Yes, we are. I've seen other cities develop their downtowns much, much better there. Cleveland, you might not even think about that, but they've got a beautiful waterfront. Chattanooga as well. So why are we missing out on an opportunity to highlight one of our most prominent features here in Jacksonville, which is the St. John's River? It's a beautiful area. Really, it is.
Well, and I would say this, and my last comment to you would be is when you have a multi-billion dollar person that's controlling things down at the, you know, the waterfront in the stadium deal, we're actually at his, you know, backhand right now, and that shouldn't be the way. I really believe that the stadium's one of the biggest corrupt deals of the history of the city.
You're not, Ron, you're not saying that Shad Khan has the key to the city.
Is that, not just one.
I believe that's exactly the problem, and I've said that over and over. Jim, any other questions for Ron?
No, sir. I just wanted to address it because, you know, that's a huge part. It seems to come up every 4 years, and it just seems to be a problem that's been reoccurring for as I was born here. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
and Jim, I'll add this while you're on the air and get Ron to respond to it. If I'm not mistaken, the survey was done just a few years back, and those that are going to use the stadium in the 840-square-mile city of Jacksonville, out of the total population of the city, if I'm not mistaken, the figure was somewhere between 1% and 2% of the taxpayers in Duval County will ever enter into that stadium and using the facilities for any reason. I think that's a lopsided focus of what we need to do for Jacksonville. But yet that seems to be the focus, and I believe we have one man that controls the key to the vault in our city, controls the majority of our city council members for their future running of office and their coffers for the campaigns. I think that it is egregious that we find that kind of mindset in a city, that we allow that to take place. And so it's my prayer that God will answer the prayers of conservative Christians, patriots in our city, place someone in office that can help change the trajectory and the direction that we're going in. So it deserves our prayer, and keep looking up. Jim, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today.
Thank
you, sir. Ron, let's continue that thought for just one moment. Part and parcel of that problem we find with the funding is that we have some key people. And I won't call all of the family names. We had about 3, 4, 5, 6 families in this city that controls the city vault, the city opportunities, and what's done. How would you break through, and this is a horrible question probably, but how would you pretend or think about or start to break through that process to get down to the fundamentals of what needs to be done for our city, not just for the deep pockets, not just for the power brokers, but for the average citizen in our city?
Yeah, I think it goes back to we the people. I really believe that if this race is going to be won, it's not going to be won with money. Every other race has been won with money. Even our last election, when we look at the two candidates that ran, it was the most money raised in the history of the city. Mm-hmm. And we know who lost and we know who won. And when we go back and research what big dollars were pushing who, now we've got people that have flipped sides. And we see people now that are pushing our current administration to make sure that that current administration stays in office. And so we're only talking, you know, 52,000 votes coming out of primary. I mean, we're not talking about a big voting population. But I think people are tired. If we continue to wake up as conservative Christians, people continue to say in the city of Jacksonville, if the church just wakes up, the election's over. So that's my job, is to continue to not only engage, inspire, but to challenge the local body of Christ to say, hey, we can take back and save our city, but I need your help in it.
Amen. Absolutely. And by the way, it's not just for local, it's for state and national.
Amen.
In fact, I believe in 2016, some 40 million Christians did not vote. In 2020, I believe it was somewhere between 35 and 40 million that still did not vote. And in 2024, I think it was like 26 to 28 million Christians that did not vote. And so this is one of the things that I've had major consternation over, and a commitment to wake people up and for us to recognize that we're charged with the responsibility being salt and light as Christians in our community. That means that we're to be involved in the process. So, Ron, another question. I noticed one of your platform stands would be a 90-day permit process for permitting, for building, reconstruction, remodeling, etc., 90 days. My question is, and I base this question on my old life of being in building and construction and real estate business for many years. In fact, in my day, I could walk in with a set of plans to Bob Hunter, which is the director of the building department. I could walk in, we'd review the plans, and in less than 30 minutes, I walk out with a permit. And those days have changed dramatically. In our city today, it takes anywhere from 3, 4, 5, 6 months, if it's a major project, to get permits approved and walking through. You talk about reducing that time to about 90 days. Give our listeners some thoughts. How would you do that?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, who's in the seats. And so we got to currently evaluate who's calling the shots in the building department with permitting. We're looking at other agencies, like why is St. John's continuing to boom and they're getting permits within 60 days? The process, we're going down to visit them actually this week to find out how are they doing it so well. But it's the bureaucracy of the city. It's gatekeepers. And so we just found out recently we had a city council member who currently is in a position of office that we're trying to investigate. We had a local builder needed to rezone his property. And this gatekeeper informed my friend of mine that in order for this to be passed, they needed a check personally for $15,000 to go into their political action committee. And he said, well, how does that work? And this person then said, well, it doesn't get through to that department unless it gets through me. And so he had to write this person that's currently in office $15,000. And then that week they got their permit. So it's just, again, it's a political
arena. You call that bribery, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I laugh because that is the name of the game. It seems that in every city where there's a planning and zoning, there's the mindset that we're going to get our share of what you're going to make in your building project, or you're not going to get your permit to do so. Now, listen, Donna Deegan, as I understand it, has already said she's going to reduce the process time for permitting. What has she done or not done that would cause you to think that it still needs to be corrected?
Yeah, so right now we don't have any clear indication on what has been done. All we know that there have been people that have taken the jobs inside of planning that are no longer there. We've had people that came in for 6 months. Either they have been fired or they've left on their own. And so once again, I believe that there's still a broken system on what's currently happening in the system of the building, of the permitting, of commission. And again, the bureaucracy and how many committees and how many boards that you have to walk through in order for something to get done is absolutely ridiculous for our city.
Ron, with that being said, and going back to the CFO and for the state of Florida that's identified $19 million in waste, have we identified on a local level where some of those waste dollars are within that $19 million that you can identify that you would have an intent to modify, change, or to correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the stuff that we have researched and found, so right now, you know, Donna Deegan's administration, she put in $900,000 for Wi-Fi in public parks. I mean, what is the necessity to put in Wi-Fi for public parks? That's absolutely, you know, something that we do not need and the taxpayers do not need to spend their money on. She created this thing called her own Lear campaign, you know, Make Jacksonville Cute Again. And she created her own campaign, and right now she's got about $600,000 that has been approved by the council to help her campaign move forward. Don't understand why we have to pay $600,000 of taxpayer money to go back in to keep our streets clean. That's the responsibility of the people that are currently in office. You know, the other thing right now that we're just seeing all across Jacksonville is, you know, these parks. We have over 400 parks across the city of Jacksonville. We just built one for $38 million. Is that what taxpayers wanted? And so we go to visit these locations, and you just scratch your head, and you're thinking, how did this get processed? How did this get approved? Is this something that the citizens and the taxpayers wanted? I mean, we need more streetlights. We need more crossing walks. We need so much more work on our infrastructure rather than putting it into these pet projects of Jacksonville.
Absolutely. So you would say then there would need to be a deep dive of what you'd call a Jacksonville Doge to do that deep dive and make some radical changes in order to go forward and cover that loss. Now, with that question, with the deficit and with also the waste, the governor has proposed removing property taxes for every residential property in the state of Florida. Donna Deegan has come out very, very, very vocally in opposition to that. What say you? What is your position on that? And how would you rule as mayor of the city of Jacksonville?
Yeah, so first year, over a four-year term, we want to make sure that we tackle, you know, the millage rate. Even though it is a low millage rate, they identified last year that we can actually chop the millage rate. So they did it 0.8%. You know, it saved the average taxpayer homeowner $18 per year. To me, it was a slap in the face to the taxpayer. And so once we get in and we find the wasteful spending and we can cut, then we can go back to the millage rate, propose it to city council. I believe we can cut it first year anywhere from 18 to 20%. With a longevity term of making sure that we eliminate property taxes in Duval County. And everyone wants to know and keeps asking, well, how are you going to do that? And you know it's going to cost X amount of dollars. You have to find the money to spend the money. And so because of City Council doing it last year, they opened the door to show us that they can actually do it. But saving $18 a year, again, is a slap in the face to a taxpayer.
All right, let's link that with the move by the state. Right now, we have on the state level 8 representatives, conservatives supposedly, Republican representatives, that are against Ron DeSantis' proposal of removing all property taxes. One wants to remove property tax for the veteran. One says let's remove property tax. We're talking about residential property tax. One says let's remove the residential property tax for those that are over 65. One says no, let's just simply do it for those that are disabled, homeowners, etc. Yet Ron DeSantis says we want to remove it completely. Could Jacksonville remove property taxes completely? If so, how? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I do believe, you know, there's so many bills that are on the floor that it kind of gets scattered between what's the priority, and I'm very curious to see what that's going to look like from a state level. On a local level, absolutely. It's all about the percentage. You know, people are under the perception that we do have one of the lowest millage rates in the state, but right now, because they did it last year, a 0.8% chop, again, $18 a year, they showed us that they can do it. So we have to continue to go back and say each year we're going to continue to reduce property taxes because we have to find the money that's being spent.
Now let's switch gears completely in these last few moments of our broadcast today, Ron. There are two, three things that are I'm very passionate about from a conservative Christian standpoint. And I believe many Christians in the city are concerned about it, but we see very little being done. Donna Deegan was the Grand Marshal for the LGBTQ Sodomite Parade in Jacksonville recently. I don't know how much taxpayer money was expended on that. How should Christians view that in our city? We don't have a parade for Jesus, a parade for a Christian day, but we have a parade and some funds by the city and city leadership leading in that exonerate, personify, and focus on a lifestyle that's antithetical to anything that's called Christian conservative lifestyle. Now, I understand that you can't force a Christian belief on everybody, but why should we have that belief and that status, that standard, forced upon us as conservative Christian patriots in the city of Jacksonville? Is that something that the mayor's office should be pushing and taking a stand overtly for, just as with the Islamic jihadist move that's in our city? Those are two things, moral, ethical issues, that I'd like for you to address in these last few moments. The Islamic jihadist move to take city after city after city, and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda to force Christians and patriots and concerned citizens to bow and bend to that which is immoral, ungodly, and unholy.
Yeah, I think the first, you know, response to that question is we are at war. It's a spiritual warfare, and we must, as conservative Christians, wake up. The church must wake up. We're fighting not only for what's taking place now, we're fighting for the future generations of our children in this nation. You have three little ones at the house. They always ask me, Daddy, why do you got to keep going to work? Why do you have to go all these meetings? And my response to them is, I'm fighting for you. And so we got to remember that we can't force anything to happen, but we can lead by example. We can lead by the blood of Jesus Christ and what he leads us to do in this city. And I go back to the Huguenots. You know, Jacksonville is destined for a true revival of the city that spills into the state and into the nation. We just haven't had the right spiritual leader in place to activate that. I believe God has commissioned and called me to a time such as this to lead the city of Jacksonville in a spiritual manner, not only as a physical manner. But we got to have somebody in office that is going to take a stand. Right now, we live in a society where men are not standing up and acting like men. We need men to take a stance, to stand up and act like men. And so I go back to it, we're in a spiritual warfare. The things that are being supported by the current administration is a clear indication that there is no God in the middle of that. And so that has to change, and I believe we can do that. The Islamic movement happening in Jacksonville, again, it's a very serious thing. You know, we're seeing Islamic mosques popping up all around our city in a strategic manner. We fought for almost 7 months the Islamic slaughterhouse off of Beach Boulevard. You know, why would we want to bring in live animals and slaughter their throats as a worship experience to the Islamic community? And it wasn't a hate. It was, you know, they took over a residential community, and now they're building a mosque in the backyard of the residential community. And so we've got to look at what's happening, opening our eyes, taking a stance, because right now we're in big trouble with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Ron, we've got about 3 minutes on our broadcast. I'm going to just throw the mic to you and invite you fill in the gaps of things we may have left off. Those things that you're passionate about that you would like for our listeners to hear and to know about you. And then in finality, how do they reach you? They want to participate. They want, of course, praying for you. How would they participate in your campaign? What do you need our listeners to do? What is the call to action after the broadcast today?
Yeah, right now, you know, we're the outside grassroots candidate. And so we're waiting on some big two people to get into this race that are pro-establishment. That is not me. And so the first thing is getting on the ballot. You know, we want to make sure that we get the 8,000 petitions. We're a little over 3,000 now because we don't want to pay $14,000 to get on the ballot. That's the establishment route. We want to go and show the people that we're for the people, and it's about we the people. And, you know, and continuing to get involved, you can find me on Facebook, TikTok, www.theronarmstrong.com. That's our website.
Give that to them one more time.
www.theronarmstrong.com. We're in, you know, every day we're uncovering something new for the city of Jacksonville, educating our followers. And for the next 11 months, we're going to be door knocking. We started that 2 weeks ago. We reached over 215 doors, and it was a great movement. And so we're creating something different for the city of Jacksonville, and I'm excited for it.
What would be the final thought that you would leave our listeners with? If you put it number one, number two, number three, priority one, two, three, what would it be?
Yeah, priority one is we're going to cut property taxes. Priority two is we're going to continue to stand behind our first responders, make sure that they have the education, the resources, the technology that they need to make sure that Jacksonville stays safe. And third, we've got to slow down this development. We've got to continue to let the planning department plan. If we do not wake up, you know, Jacksonville will, every community in this city will be turned into a concrete neighborhood, and that can't happen here.
Mm-hmm. All right. We've got several other things that opens the door to. But when you say to slow down the process of the development, you're not saying that we need to stop it, but it needs to be processed in such a way that there would be a proper development of our city and resources.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Ron Armstrong, a conservative Christian candidate for the office of mayor in the city of Jacksonville. Ron, one more time, give that contact information for you.
Yeah, www.theronarmstrong.com and on all your social media platforms.
Very good. Thank you so much, Ron, for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarship.